You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Good afternoon and welcome, everybody. This would be the Jeff Cameron Show right here on 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV. Great to be with you. Hope this finds you doing quite well. I'm Jeff. That's Tom. There's Director Matthew. You're you. You're listening to us, and that is greatly appreciated. Honestly, it is. And don't forget, as we say every day, if you're watching on War Chant TV, make sure you like and subscribe and share so that others can find the programming as well. We're off to not a shaky beginning at all, but a little disjointed, a little convoluted beginning as we got things started today. We kind of felt a little rushed today, Tom. A little rushed. I don't know if that portends a greatness. Sometimes it does. Really just the opening chords to Bubba O'Reilly does that. But other times it leads to a disheveled. Who am I kidding? Every show is disjointed. All of ours.
Wait a minute. We have the most regimented production meeting in the business. Every word is scripted of this show.
Oh, no. That would be terrible. Yeah. That's how bad shows get done.
One of the computers here was rebooting.
Yeah.
As I was in the process of setting things up. We were almost not on video today. Or it would have just been you with the sounds of your computer speaker or something along those lines. Mm. It would have been terrible.
Rebooting. Can be a problem. John Butler did decide to stay in the draft. Remember I said last night or yesterday on the program, just to kind of clean up some loose ends of things that are applicable to Florida State that matter, that involve personnel. Listen, guys, it's June. And June, being a great month that it is also awfully slow when it comes to information that you can run with that matter greatly as it applies to Florida State on a day-to-day basis. So when you have something that does, you do have to mention it. And John Butler, the 7'1" beanpole, as he were, but with a pretty, pretty shot, has decided to keep it in the NBA draft. His name is there. That's a pretty big hole that he leaves now for Florida State. I'll give you the roster in a second just to refresh your memory. Butler started 24 of 31 games, Tom, and we saw moments, real moments with him that led you to be excited about what he was going to be. Now, again, when you just look at averages, points per game, free throws and all that, you're going to say, well, what's the big deal, Jeff? He averaged 5 points a game, 6 points a game. Yeah, but he did it his first year with a gorgeous shooting touch, and he also was the best shooter from beyond the arc statistically and otherwise that the team had. So he was only going to get better, one would assume, that this staff, which has done a good job of developing players, was going to get him to improve. We know he'd put on weight at some point. But moreover, just as a pure shooter, he wasn't a seven-foot guy that was down the post a lot. Nehemiah Cloud and others are going to have to do that. He's a guy that's out on the perimeter that has, in the modern parlance of the game, you watch guys with handles that are that big. It does happen, and they, in rhythm, get their shot. They can create their shot. It's hard to block their shot at that height, obviously. And if they shoot in rhythm with that high arching shot that he had, it's just gorgeous. So I was looking forward to watching him develop. Now you'll have to find him overseas because he sure as hell ain't going to get drafted. Which is really bizarre because if you go through every ranking service, ESPN has him as the 72nd best prospect in the draft. That would have him undrafted. If you were to look then at the other services, say NBADraftRoom.com, it's one that often people look at. It's not looking good. He does appear in a couple of them. The Spurs, who like Florida State players, in one of those mocks, have him going in the second round, Tom. And then I saw another one. I think it was a Bleacher Report NBA preview, draft preview, that had him going late in the second round as well. Those are the only two of like the seven that I looked at. All the rest don't have him going at all. So there are normally what, 60 picks in the NBA draft thereabouts. So he's, you know, outside the round. I saw one at 48, another one at 57.
Yeah, this tells me that his people want him
to go play pro basketball.
Yeah, and make the money that he can right now. It's not worth it to come back and try and develop and increase your draft stock. Okay, well, if that's the path you choose, then so be it. But it also, if that's the path you choose, then you lead me to believe that maybe, just maybe, you weren't helping the issue here. Even though you could help spread the floor on offense in the half court, maybe you're not helping the issue here. Because what this season has to be about is
getting back to toughness.
Yeah.
And togetherness.
Yes.
Yeah, the camaraderie. It does.
There was none of that last year.
No, I know. And we've complained about it. Now, listen, we don't know what – I don't think we know. At least last I checked right before we came on the air, Malik Osborne did pull his name. Okay, so he pulled his name from the NBA draft. I don't know if he did it before the midnight deadline. The only thing I would say about that, Tom, is he's 24 years old. He turned 24 in April. I wouldn't blame him if he goes and plays professional basketball somewhere.
He's not on my radar. Like, I guess he could come back, but that would be a stunner. Like, I'm not even thinking about him as
but
a potential.
But he is eligible to come back, is what I'm saying. And this is a case, albeit I don't know what kind of money he could get, but his unquestioned leadership and physical tools. Now, think about what he's been in his career. He's been really good. Gets to the free throw line, team best. He's averaging double digits per game. Plays nearly 30 minutes per game in his career. He's a good shooter. He defends. He's a lot of things. But you know what he is? He's a quintessential college basketball player. He doesn't strike you as an NBA player, of course. He can play professionally somewhere, overseas or something like that. But here's a case where if he returned for his final season of eligibility, Tom, we talk about NIL. There's a guy that is a campus leader. He's a locker room leader. He's a guy that I can tell you squashed when the season was in the midst of going south. Some, I guess you, for lack of a better term, you'd say infighting. That's a guy that stood between some of the younger players who were bickering and who were frustrated about what was transpiring. And came in and put the kibosh on that with the quickness. That's the kind of leadership he brings along with the physical tools. I don't know what kind of money he could get. Again, if we're talking about real NIL, as in a business invests in you because they see value in what you represent for their company, very few players in any sport, in collegiate sports anyhow, are worth it. But that's not how NIL is being used. So I don't know. It would be cool to see if he could come back. Now, again, I'm going to double-check this because an hour ago when I was going through some show prep notes, I could not find whether or not he pulled his name from the NBA draft pool prior to the midnight deadline.
Now, he retained an agency before.
You're allowed to do that.
I know. I know you are. But that just, to me, that screams like somebody is feeling what you're feeling. I'm in my mid-20s. It's time to go make money somewhere.
I wish I felt like I was still in my mid-20s.
Time. Right.
I remember feeling that.
You do?
Oh, absolutely.
It's a half lifetime ago.
It is, and it goes really quick. From 25 to 50, it's
That's accurate.
Yeah.
I was 27 yesterday,
yeah,
and I'm going on 36
now.
Yeah,
it's like that, man. Yeah. It's like that. Anyhow, so the point is it leaves a pretty deep chasm for Florida State to try to cross here. I'm concerned. Your returning players are Caleb Mills, Matthew Cleveland, Cameron Fletcher, that's your guy, Nyheim McLeod, and Jalen Worley. I'm going to need Worley to wake the hell up, by the way.
I'm going to need Mills to not be soft also.
Well, good luck. We had 23 starts from the young man to pretty overwhelming evidence that he was soft.
A little more Trent Forrest in your game. Like, whatever it is. Maybe Trent could sit him down and say, this is how you do it.
You know, you never know when tough love, Cameron, is needed. Some guys, they rebuke, they push back. They scoff at the idea of being called out publicly on these airwaves over the 20-plus years that I've been doing this program. They don't like it. They recoil at criticism. Others, they puff out their chest and they say, F you, Cameron. I'll show you. Which is the intent of Tough Love Cameron, is to bring about that very rebellious, angry, I'll prove you wrong mentality.
Right. It's the button your high school coach pushed on you.
Oh, yes. Took me several years removed from high school to look back and realize that, good on you, coach. Hated his ass. And then all those years later realized, oh, I don't hate him. It worked. But I did in the moment. But you got to have a good cop, bad cop, and they do at that this program. But anyhow, the point is, I continue to get worried. It's June. You're saying, why are you leading with this? Well, it's pertinent. I mean, you had two guys, both have their name out there. One stayed in, hopes to be drafted. I wish him well. I just hate we're not going to get to watch him play. I really had high hopes for what I thought he was going to become. It's just a pure shot. It's a shame. And now probably have to seek that out in G League if he's lucky. If not, we'll seek it out in Europe.
And then if Malik doesn't come back, which again, I don't expect him to, but if he doesn't, that gives you a spot. Maybe you can make some things happen in the NIL world. Get somebody in here who can further the mission of repairing what was lost last year. Because that group, as you could tell, the farther away we get from the season, the more I feel, Jesus, guys, that's not who we are. That's not what we're about here. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. The last team that was that mentally soft was the one that gave up against Georgia Tech here in Tallahassee on a senior night when they still had a chance to go to the NCAA tournament, and they did not do so. That's like 7 years ago. So it's been a long time since you've watched a group basically quit on the court multiple times.
James writes, none of this matters. Ham's never going back to the Elite Eight, right, Jeff? That's true, James, but it does matter. I don't want us, just because we can't get back to the Elite, I think I said Final Four. But I would just say that there's a difference between not being able to ascend to the greatness that they were on the cusp of when COVID rendered the postseason null and sucking. Like, it's not one or the other. You can be a reputable program that goes to the postseason year in and year out, finishes in the top six of the ACC, has quality campaigns for which to us to invest in and have fun watching and hope to prove me wrong, frankly. I'll go every year to hope that I'm wrong and have to come out here and issue a mea culpa and say how sorry I am that I ever doubted Leonard Hamilton. That'd be great.
It's been done before by me. I was the guy, the last one to leave the bandwagon. And just as I set my feet, both feet down, off of the bandwagon,
it took off kicking ass.
That's right. I'm like, wait, wait, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I know. It's, what are you going to do? It's crazy. But oh, I got sleepy eyes. Look at that. If we're looking at the video, look at the puffiness. I got to get some rest, guys.
What time did you wake up?
5:30.
Oh, well, you got a good night's sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you didn't go to bed until late.
I was in bed. There was no reason for me to watch the middle of the third period on of the Lightning dismantling. So I did crash. I did have to work late last night. We were doing... a national champion was crowned in golf yesterday, and it didn't end until after 9 o'clock Eastern. And so what you had was Texas winning it all. Coach John Fields, who I've interviewed several times over the years, of course, had quite a team. They've got three guys that are in the top 10 of the PGA Tour U. But yeah, he won his first, the last national championship Texas won in golf was 2012, and his contract was up, so it was a good year for him to win the national championship.
That's some Gus Malzahn stuff right there.
Yeah. So then he was renewed because he was under a little bit of pressure, and so it's been a minute, been 10 years. And
it a 10-year contract?
I don't know.
Okay.
But once he won that one, I don't think they were as apt to get rid of him, but he won. And so we wanted to present it live, and we did go live. But we didn't start on Sirius XM last night on PGA Tour channel. We didn't start till 10 p.m. And I was frustrated, Tom, as it was 2-2 when I arrived for the prep to do the show. It was 2-2. I watched us score 45 seconds after giving up the 2-1 goal, and I thought, okay, here we go. All right, here we go. And then I was already a little troubled at the pacing of the game, and this was something that I talked with you about yesterday. You don't want to play that way, guys, and so hopefully lesson learned and we'll slow things down. But they were playing pretty breakneck for the first period and a half.
Yeah, for the first 30 minutes, they were a group who their feet were a little heavier. That's true. But if you look at the chances, point blanks, we outchanced them, you know, 10-6, something like that. I'll take that most circumstances. The problem was from about the 30-minute to the 35-minute mark, yeah, you get owned, and that's your game.
You get owned.
Because you did not cash in on those chances earlier, I ain't worried. I mean, you know, if it – listen, this is the awesome place to be in as a Lightning fan. If it ends,
it's house money,
standing ovation.
No,
if it continues, standing ovation. It doesn't matter. You're standing up and clapping either way.
Yeah,
so
but
we'll
see. You do want to win. I know.
Of course.
I learned my lesson, obviously. This team has earned the benefit of the doubt not to panic.
Oh, they got destroyed by Toronto.
Yeah, we've seen several games where you're like, ooh, I don't know what that is. But then, obviously, it all worked out. Yeah, I can't do it, Ryan. That is a problem. He mentions watching the Women's College World Series without FSU. It's like watching Caddyshack 2. I think that's a great point. That's a horrible movie. And I can't watch the Women's College World Series without FSU in it. I haven't graduated to that place yet. I have mentioned on the show that legitimately softball, college softball, has arrived at a place where if FSU's not on in a regular season game and I'm flipping around and it's on, that I'll pause. I'll watch an inning or two if they're two good teams.
Right. First so like, and second, nobody out. Ooh.
Yeah.
All right,
yeah,
all
I'll
right.
watch. Like, it happened when we were playing down in St. Pete in that tournament. I was flipping around and we weren't playing on a particular day that I flipped over, and a couple of good teams were playing. Was it Oklahoma State down there? Or was Texas A&M? I can't remember. Somebody good was down there.
Whoever's good.
And I was like, oh, well, I'll watch this. I'll watch a little bit of this. And I did. And then I've seen a little bit of other, you know, but I can't prolonged watch. It's not there. Like, you and I can watch any football game.
Sure.
Any football game. I can pretty much watch any professional baseball game. Professional baseball game. Any. Almost. If there's nothing going on, if there's not a lot going on, and you tell me, I'll give you an example.
Cardinals, Browns, I don't know. I might not watch that.
Oh, pro football you're talking about. You might. You might. It depends off their playoff implications. You have some money on the game. I haven't stooped to betting on women's softball yet, so I can't really spruce that up the way that I do across the board in the NFL.
They call that the final hurdle. There you go.
I thought when I began to bet on preseason NFL football that I had crossed a line and there was no way to go back. But I was wrong. I was wrong. I just realized
you
that
bet on, what was it, the Dutch Open? How did that go?
Oh, no, that was being facetious.
Oh, I thought you legitimately bet on the Dutch Open.
I did not bet on that. Jags-Texans pass. You know what, though? You happen to select a game that I would almost watch out of just laughter. Like last year, I think the Jags-Texans played the first game of the year, and I remember when we were doing our previews across the board, especially teams in the Southeast that our audience might have an interest in. I said, well, the Jags better win that one because I don't know that they're going to win another game. And the same would hold true for the Texans. Texans better win that one. You know, it's like
the only other game is when they play again in the other person's stadium.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. Well, if you lost the first time in that Jags-Texans meeting, a lot on the line in that second one. I mean, this is it. This is the only one you're going to get. So, yeah, I don't know. Bottom line is there are some sporting events that I can watch anywhere. I watched the other day, flipped around to watch the Angels and the Yankees. Struck me as a good matchup. Thought I'd watch it. Watched a good 5 to 7 minutes of that. Enjoyed. So, there's that. But I haven't gotten there yet with softball.
So I'm looking on a sports book, a prominent one, and I cannot find a softball. Even though it's the World Series, I can't find a line. There's got to be one, though, right?
Yeah. I know there has to be. You can bet on everything these days. We live that part of the world has changed for the better. Many aspects of life here has not changed for the better.
No.
But that is one that has. We finally caught up to modern times.
Went through the list. You can find snooker, but you can't find softball.
Oh, snooker's heavily bet on in Europe. Yes, absolutely it is. So is darts. Darts.
Yeah, here it is, Premier League.
Yeah, that's when you know you've really graduated to a good place.
So in case you want to know, let's see, Johnny Clayton is favored by 2.5.
As he should be.
Over Joe Cullen. Yeah.
Cullen's a quality player, but...
And then also, Michael Van Gerwen is a 2.5-something favorite over James
Murray. You know, I kid, and I'll just say this, and then we'll get a little focused here, maybe. I kid all the time about what you can and can't watch. We're all lovers of sport competition and all that comes with it, and it's why we're in the industry we're in, and it's why we chose the profession that it's cover sports, all that stuff. But I will tell you, we have a softball bet? Texas versus UCLA minus 190?
Director found it on WinBet. I was looking at DK Sportsbook.
Good
DK
job,
Sportsbook
WinBet.
Will not take your softball wagers, but WinBet certainly will.
Damn right, WinBet. Check on FanDuel. Check on all the others. Yeah, that's good stuff. Circa probably has it. What I would tell you is that we've reached a pretty low place. I went to get some pickup food about 2 weekends ago. I think it was 2 weekends ago. Because last weekend, whatever the weekend
crab
was.
Crab legs?
Whatever the weekend, no.
Did you get the butter?
Always. Whatever the weekend was that I wasn't in Tampa watching the Lightning defeat Florida in game 3. So I went in to get this food, and it was an establishment that had beer. And I ordered one. And I thought, well, while I wait.
A 4-ouncer, little guy?
Just a little guy. A
little taster?
And I thought, well, I'll watch sports while I'm here. It's a great place to be, to watch sports while I'm having a beer and waiting on my food. And I angered a couple that was down the end of the bar, and they were just staring into their salad, and they were eating, and they'd look up every now and again. It didn't look like they had much interest.
It sounds like they're not having a good time anyway. You're sitting at a bar, crunching on a salad.
They were, but they looked like they weren't really interested in what was on. Now, I know the people at this establishment, and I said to them, hey, sweet cheeks, can you flip that over there quick to the golf? I didn't call her sweet cheeks, but I thought it. Anyhow, she switched it to the golf, as I requested, and they went, we were watching that. You know what was on? Cornhole. Get the hell up out of here. I'd have kicked them out of the bar. They were watching cornhole.
So a couple sitting together at the end of the bar.
Eating salad.
Eating salads.
Upset by my request to put on a PGA Tour sanctioned event. And they said, we were watching that.
Molly, you know what I think we should do today?
We're watching cornhole?
Let's go get a Cobb salad. You get a Caesar. That way we can have some of each other's salads.
We'll do it both and watch that cornhole.
That's right.
Live from Tennessee.
Yep. Let's do it.
Unbelievable.
Sounds like a day.
We sat there stunned and looked at each other. Me and Sweet Cheeks. Couldn't believe it. I was like, really? That's what we're doing out
here? There
was
no other TV?
Well, there was. And I told them, respectfully, we're going to put it on it over there. I impromptu just took command of that.
The cornhole?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I said, we're going to put it on over there. This is going to golf. Mm. And that was kind of the end of that. But I mean, and I wasn't being asked. I put it on the TV closer to them.
Oh, okay.
It was the better TV.
So over there is next to them, not...
No, not across the bar.
That's what it sounded like. I got to tell you.
I was tempted. But, I mean, what are we doing here? Taking up our TVs with cornhole. Who does that? Communists. It's Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio, War Chant TV.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back guaranteed. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
It's Jeff Cameron Show. Hope you're well. I'll tell you what, let me tell you guys how tomorrow's going to go. Awkward situation with Florida State playing tomorrow at noon. And because of it, we're going to kind of, I don't want to say counter-programming. That's the way, that's the radio term. There will be people who are not interested in Florida State playing at noon. And it makes it awkward for us because it becomes a glorified watch-along. And that doesn't work on the air. And is, I guess, in theory, kind of illegal because I often break into play-by-play while we're watching on the air. Which
well,
they
good luck potting
upon.
That on Monday when you're like on the commute. You're like, oh, what did they talk about on Friday? Great, it's the third inning of a game that I know what happened.
Right, yeah you can't do that. So that's our situation. We decided that instead we'll do something different. It won't center around Florida State baseball at all. And it's my son's birthday today. It's Clark's birthday today. He's 12. Happy birthday, Clark. And so I think we're going to use tomorrow as a celebratory day, me and the family and all that. So Tom and I are going to get together bright and early in the morning, put some content together for you that'll be fresh and different from baseball, and we'll have that for tomorrow afternoon show.
Happy birthday, Clark. Yeah. Only 2 years until you can get your ear pierced. All right.
Ninth grade, I guess. I kind of wavered on that a little and mentioned that I got mine pierced when I was able to drive to go get it pierced. When I was when I was capable of taking myself to the mall to get it done. So that's what he's got to do.
He's got to take himself to specifically the mall, nowhere else?
Oh, he can go anywhere he wants to go, but okay. He has to be able to drive himself. So if he's able to drive himself.
All right. Only four more birthdays, Clark, until you can get your ear pierced.
Yeah,
or three if you take your dad with your permit.
The requests are much easier for his birthday this go around. He wants ice cream. The last bastion of
there
childhood. The last little bit.
Taking him to the shop?
Soon the requests become exponentially more expensive, obviously. It changes everything. But also, like, the desire is starkly different than wanting ice cream.
It sounds like you got a little bit of a dip, though, because when he was in like that 8 to 10 range, it was either a video game system or you would go all out at the sporting goods store or the toy store, and there would just be extravagant amounts of toys. So this
I
one,
I loved it.
I'm sure you
missed
did.
That terribly. I used to go because toys aren't expensive. They're not that expensive. I used to just throw them in the cart.
But you found expensive ones.
I got the Millennium Falcon that time. That was like $300.
That's what
ridiculous.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
So now it's, you
I
know,
gave it to you, Director Matthew. You still have it? Still works?
Oh, he's pumped up about it.
Oh, yeah, good. It is awesome.
Now it's like $7 for the ice cream. Happy birthday, son. Here's a card.
All I got to do is bring his little friends along and pay for them, too. Oh, but that's no big deal.
$37.
Yeah,
there
$37
you go.
$37. All right, everybody have a good time. Good, good. Go to your houses. That's how that's going to work. Yeah, man.
No bouncy house this year? No? Not the front yard?
They've gone beyond the bouncy house now. I mean, Bryce is 6 feet tall. Clark's like 5'8 now, so it's like, yeah, we're done with the bouncy house.
Slip and slide? No?
I wish. It's hot enough to do the slip and slide. Slip and slide was always great, and it translates even as you're older. Nobody gets bored with the slip and slide. You would like to do the slip and slide.
I hope our mutual friend Rob has the slip and slide party again this year. That's always a great one.
It's the best. It's usually 4th of July weekend, right?
Yeah, that or August.
It bounced back and forth.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Florida State baseball tomorrow, not today. Somebody asked in the chat. That's not today, or else we would be talking about that. Of course, they're taking on UCLA. That game is at noon. It will be played on ESPN2, or at least be seen on ESPN2. That's a shakeup. Ordinarily, you can't find college baseball to watch anywhere, at least not ACC. But now you'll get to see it on ESPN2. And after that game, by the way, Southeast Louisiana and the Tigers will play, if you care to watch that.
Yeah. So if we win, we play Saturday night. If we lose, you're facing the barbecue and you're starting early on a Saturday afternoon.
What do you think of this quote? Mike Martin Jr. writes, "It's awesome. It's awesome for our guys. It's awesome for our coaching staff. It's good for the program. You have to treat everything the same. What you don't want to do is act like somebody else. You want to stay consistent. Our routines, everything that we've done this year to get here." I mean, I know why a coach would say that. I don't know. I don't think you want to do everything you did to get there, coach.
That's fair, but maybe that's a response to maybe things under the previous regime did not stay the same in the postseason as they did in the regular season. Mm. That's what I gather that is. But if we are going
that's a good observation on your part. That's fair.
Thank you. If we're going to be consistent with what we've been in the postseason, then we're going to win the first game 11-0. We're going to lose the second game 12-0 because that's what we've been this year, is woefully
wildly inconsistent. Yeah, that's the consistency with which we play, right? You don't know heads or tails. Now, I do agree with this quote. He said that, look, the teams that win this time of year are the ones that keep their emotions in check and can think. You have to be able to think. You can't get so amped up that you play different than you did during the regular season. You know, I thought there were stretches this year in the regular season where they lost the ability to concentrate and the ability to think. I think they had so many empty at-bats. It's really the greatest complaint. I wanted to boil it down because this was the thing that it's easy to just say that this aspect of the program has to get better or that aspect of the program has to get better. And they can even be true, those things. Like, you got to run the bases better. Okay, fine. That's true. We've had a nearly 6-year run of not picking up the baseball. Now, I think the picking up of the baseball improves with better players. As your roster gets better, as you improve, then I believe you'll start to see. It's almost like the complaint for years about Leonard Hamilton's teams until they got better players. Well, man, these end-of-game scenarios, these inbound passes, I mean, what's going on with these inbound passes when we need it most? And then all of a sudden, not only did we get the ball in, we'd run up amazing plays. You'd get dunks off of inbound passes. You'd get last-second wins executed with perfect technique and execution time and again. Well, guess what? They had better players. Better players tend to let you do that. So I started thinking about the registered complaints. And some of them are directly solved by getting better players. But an alarming trend has been the empty at-bats. And by empty at-bats, situationally empty at-bats. Not moving people over, working hard to get a fastball count to get to 2031, and then no contact on a 2-1 90-mile-per-hour fastball down the heart. That kind of, you know, puzzling execution or lack thereof when you have leverage. That's got to get better, and I'd like to know why that is. Now, is that solved by better players? Perhaps.
But it's like going 5 wide on 3rd and goal from the 1, and then on 4th and goal you throw the fade. That's what that feels like. Those at-bats. You're going, really? There's a lot of other ways this could have gone. You're not even going to give yourself a chance. But there is room for hope because there is a potential, and I see that somebody commented on it in the chat. There is the highest of high caliber players that has entered the transfer portal as a freshman. Tommy White from NC State wants to return to the state of Florida.
I saw that.
And he has 27 home runs to his name this year. Obviously, NC State did not make the postseason.
Well, bent over by a committee who had no idea what they were doing.
That is correct. I mean, supremely bent over. But you know what? He can do the same to pitching in the ACC. We know this. At a ridiculous record-setting rate.
I saw it, was going to mention it, hence the emphasis on getting better players part of my rant.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad somebody brought it up in the chat because it segues nicely into where I can I can cross my fingers. I don't know how this is going to go. Our guys are in the middle of the postseason right now. It's tough to know.
He's batting third tomorrow, folks. Yeah. It's a new rule.
It'd be great. Thanks, Eric. Thanks for your contribution, and thanks for listening and supporting the program with gusto.
Woo!
With gusto, I tell you. He writes, Jeff and Tom, best in the business, FSU, going to Omaha, tall boys on me, Thirsty Thursday. I think he's got some sort of beer-related nickname for most of the days. That's a good man.
Weiss Wednesday, have the Germans.
I don't like a Hefeweizen.
I agree.
I don't like it. And people look at you funny when you said, oh, yeah, German beer kind of sucks.
For being a guy, well, except for the Dunkel Browns. Those are good.
Okay.
Right. But for being a guy whose nickname could be Hefe, you don't like the Hefe.
I don't like the Hefe.
No gusta.
At the time that we had nothing but bland choices, right? Beer in this country for a very long time, very simply put, kind of the big three, if you will. You had your Budweisers, your Coors, your Michelobes, those kinds of things. That's about it, right? That's what you had. So what seemed exotic almost. It was like the first time you're like, a St. Pauli girl? Like, you couldn't believe it, right? You're like, what is this?
You wouldn't believe it. I went to the German festival, and they had a beer I'd never heard of before.
Yeah, and then, like, people thought the Hefeweizen, like, oh, have you ever had a Hefeweizen? It's life-changing. I haven't. The best I've ever had is a brown ale one time. But, yes, that's, like, that was a big deal. Now you're like, oh, what? What? What are we doing here? This is nothing. Get it together, Germany.
I'm still on the brown ale train, though. That's outstanding beer.
You know the story of, and I told you this one before, I think it's so awesome, and back in the day, it would have been the greatest job in the world, that, you know, we always think about spies trying to learn secrets of our enemies, such as, you know, technological advancements in weaponry, right? But the United States had, this is a true story, everybody, a spy that famously went country to country to steal, and this is great, I would have loved this job, to steal potential recipes or food items that could not grow, say, naturally in America. That's how we ended up getting what we did in order to brew beer like the Germans. We stole the hops.
The hops?
We stole the hops.
Oh, wow.
That's a true story. And that person went all around, Middle East. We stole apricots. Oh, thank God. All of this. And we were able to bring them back. But if you got caught back then doing something like that, you could be executed. You could be killed.
Whoever stole poppy seed bagels, thank you so much. Appreciate you.
Think about that. What a job, though. Like, if you got to be undercover doing stuff, we both love all of those movies where that is the central theme, where it's all dialogue for 3 hours, and we're just figuring out which of the, you know, Tinker, Tailor, Spy.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Soldier,
all,
Spy.
All,
yeah.
those kinds of films. They're fantastic, right? But imagine that, but you're stealing food.
Mm.
Much easier conversation to fake your way through, is it not? Well, I don't know. What is
come to the attention of the circus that you're stealing food.
No, but like if you were trying to figure it out, like you would say, well, what is this pizza of which you speak? I'd love to try it with the intent of stealing everything. Yeah, right. It would be fantastic.
How do you make it? Pour another glass of wine?
Well, say that part again.
Now, my secret is...
It's the Jeff Cameron Show, 93.3 Real Talk Radio and War Chant TV.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I was reading, this, talk of us going after another offensive lineman. Okay.
You have my attention.
The kid from South Carolina. I think it's Tumatine. You guys got to forgive me on this one because Tumatine, I think that's his name. I when you look him up, you're not impressed. He started some games for South Carolina. So initially you say, well, there's an SEC offensive lineman that started 4 or 5 games. Probably better than anybody we have. I'm not so sure. But it's in the wind that we're looking at him and possibly another offensive lineman. Hey, the overriding philosophy behind that is fine, but you do, in the midst of all that, begin to wonder, okay, well, how many spots do they have? And I don't want to do what we've done with a couple of players in the past. Again, we've done a real good job of not taking people just to take people. We've done a real good job of not just filling holes that we have with somebody because they're available, but rather somebody that we think can fit and somebody that we think long-term is of great benefit to us, that both fills a hole on the roster, maybe in the immediate sense, but also is somebody that is better than a player that is slated to start there. And I don't know with this guy if that's true.
Yeah, in week one against Eastern Illinois,
he sucked.
His pass blocking grade was a zero.
I looked it up.
Okay.
He wasn't any good. That's why I got excited and then instantly stopped getting excited.
But against Kentucky, Troy, and Tennessee, he was in the green. Our famous color code at Pro Football Focus. A lot of yellows and reds, though, like blood reds, mm-hmm. which is like a zero.
We've had guys with zeros. We know what a zero looks like physically. We know what it looks like to watch a guy in a game perform to the level of a zero.
And then have a five-man protection called in that situation over and over and over.
A zero.
Mm.
You would think it to be impossible. You could accidentally booby block somebody. And get better than a zero.
I believe that's the form as well that you need to use.
If you're capable of a zero, that's kind of how you're blocking. But a zero. That's the kind of thing, if we weren't on radio, that I would follow up with. Blankety blank zero. Are you blanking kidding me? A zero.
Dadgummit.
I mean, that is... It's like, well, it's as if that man went against air. Air gets a zero. You couldn't get a one? A zero?
Right. You occupy physical space between where he wants to go and where he is. So
almost by definition, it's like signing your name on the SAT. Once again, we circle back. Mm-hmm. How did you get a zero? Did you not sign your name on the test, son?
No.
A zero.
I forgot.
I did. I
wrote it in, but I didn't think I had to bubble it because, you know, I wrote it in.
Oh, man. So he would seem, maybe, not to fall in the same category as, say, Bless Harris.
What do you know about Bless Harris?
Thank you. He would seem to not fall in the same category as Dimitri Emmanuel, whom we think has real upside. Don't know how much, but he seems like he's got some upside, and at least Coach Atkins knows who he is and has coached him before. And I'm going to go ahead and say that if he signed off on him, I'm with you, brother. Okay. You've earned that benefit of doubt.
It's just the damnedest thing. Again, these grades aren't gospel, but I'm not going to watch every one of these kids' reps. He has four grades at 74 or above, and he's got three grades at 12 or below, all in the pass block category. How? That's unbelievable.
It reminds me, the way you said how, it's kind of the way that I said how when on the back nine last week, Harold Varner went triple, double, triple. And I texted you and Matthew. And Matthew said, oh, he's full on trying to break 50 now.
Is that what you said? Yeah, oh, my God. Well, it's true.
It bothers me. I'm a huge fan. Like, I really like him, and I know somebody who knows him. They say he's just an awesome, awesome guy.
It seems that way.
Yeah, no, he's an awesome guy. Like, universally beloved. So there, I texted you to let you know there was a five-way tie.
Right, yep.
And my man promptly went triple, double, triple.
And the only time you saw him was in the foreground of somebody else's golf shot. You're like, oh, there's Harold. It looks like it's not
getting
better.
He was doing fine, and then it just fell off a cliff. That was close.
A dadgum cliff.
A cliff. And I was just thinking, I mean... Harold.
He was 10 under at one point on the back nine.
He was tied for the lead.
He finished at even. I mean.
I know what that's like, Harold.
Me too.
I play once a week. This is not what we do. You cannot do that, Harold. I can do that. You cannot do that.
But he has done that.
Oh, a lot. He's done it a lot. I'm at a place now where I'm just going to throw my hands to the sky and say, Harold Barner ain't going to win. Ain't going to win. I don't. It's the worst, though. I didn't want to apply that to him.
But
it's easy to apply it to Lee Westwood, because screw Lee Westwood. But Harold Varner's my man. Come on.
He is?
Love Harold. I just want him to win. Okay. I like him. He's affable. He's fun. I like his swing. I like everything about him. He's a fun guy to watch play. He's adventuresome.
So then you need to celebrate if he has a 54-hole lead. Because that's his title.
No,
that's his title.
Well, he's had a lot of it. He's had a ton of 54-hole leads.
Right,
that's
so
his thing.
He's a three-time champion.
No, he needs to get a win. Anyhow, the way you said, how is the way I said how after I watched him throw up the first seven on the par four and then follow it up with a double.
It is kind of the same thing. You're at 10 under tied for the lead, and then you finish, what, like 50th? I don't even know where you finished.
Well outside the...
Right. Yeah. But if you're capable of playing nearly a... Because an 85 pass block grade is exceptional. So if you're capable of that against Power 5 competition, it's SEC competition, an SEC defensive line.
Mm-hmm.
How are you also capable of a zero against an FCS opponent?
Yeah, what I would wonder about there is there an effort issue here? Do we have emotional issue?
I see 6'7", 340, so maybe that's a little bit inconsistency with the gut. I don't know.
He's just fat?
I'm just guessing. I don't know.
Well, yeah, he's got to be fat. But, I mean, I don't know. If you get an 85 and a zero in the same season, either you played injured... You played injured, or you've got an effort issue, man. You've got an effort issue.
Yeah, he had 18 chances to pass block against the Eastern Illinois, got a zero. That was game one of the season. Then game 12.
How many chances?
18 chances.
I think they pulled him.
Yes, 47 snaps.
Yeah, they pulled his ass.
That's about consistent for where he fits for the season. So I guess they don't run a ton of tempo in South Carolina. Why would you? But then the final game of his season was against Mizzou, and he had a 2.9. 2.9 against Mizzou, pass blocking. In between those two games, he had 474 or better performances.
It is actually inexplicable. It is one of those things. Now, I suppose if we do get the services of Turnitin, then I'm going to have to call the people at South Carolina, who I have a connection to from interviews I did this year with the College Sportsbook, and find out what the hell.
His second best overall grade against the SEC was against Florida. Florida's D-line is not bad, as we saw.
No, how did he play there?
Played well. 74.5 pass block grade. The next week was Mizzou, 2.9. You tell me. That's nuts.
That's got to be between the ears, man. Again,
yep.
It's either between the ears or he's got some physical maladies that we don't know about. Like, you can play really well a game, and then the fat takes hold. And he just can't overcome it. Seriously,
it's something. It's not about talent, clearly.
Thank you, Marcus. We really appreciate you listening and contributing, gentlemen. Just wishing you and your Bolts well in the Eastern Conference Final. Tom has a house divided, correct? Good luck with that. What do you know about Bless Harris? Well done, Marcus. Yeah, it is a house divided there, but it's a friendly house divided.
It's
a lovely thing there. Yeah,
tasteful.
Hour number two, forthcoming. Stay with me.